Clive Itterwood, and Clive is going to maybe set us straight. Good morning, Craig.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Craig, all we learned in school about the settlement of Australia, are we now to understand that we've been fed a lot of hogwash?
Well, that's right. We have the Citizens Electoral Council for the last 2 years has been doing some original in-depth research involving literally hundreds and hundreds of very primary source historical books,
right,
because we're associated internationally with statesman and physical economist Lyndon LaRouche, who represents what we call the American system or the patriotic faction in the United States. Those people are associated, for example, around George Washington, Alexander Hamilton. So we don't support the British view of history whatsoever. And because we're part of the Commonwealth, what you find is you get a one-sided view of history. And a lot of people, when they go to school, get this idea from our history that somehow there was an overcrowding problem of convicts in England, and therefore they had to be shipped out to Australia in order to get rid of them. And you have these pictures from time to time of these, you know, crowded slave hulks sitting in the Thames River and that sort of thing in the history books.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not true. What actually happened was that you had the American Revolution, which was the British were decisively defeated in 1781. They also had been driven out of Ireland in 1782 by an uprising of the Irish at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And this really inspired a lot of people around the world, and the British at that time and in their empire were losing territory. So there was a mad scramble to look for new territory around the world, particularly because the French and the Spanish, who were opponents, you might say, or adversaries of the British, were also doing this. So there was a mad scramble to find new places.
Yeah.
So the British set out the first fleet, or they set out people like James Cook, for example,
mm-hmm.
who was an asset of what was called the British East India Trading Company. Now, this is the same British East India Trading Company that used to smuggle opium into China and deal with the slave trade.
Okay.
Now, James Cook was an agent of a guy by the name of Lord Shelburne. You also have Captain Arthur Phillips. Most people don't know that he was, in fact, an intelligence operative for the British in Europe before he came down here and headed the First Fleet. So the reason for it is that there was a desperate need for Britain to establish a new outpost, particularly in the Southern Hemisphere, and there was a race on. And you know, the British only beat the French to Port Phillip Bay by 2 weeks. Otherwise, we would have been speaking French.
Okay. So apparently some of those people, or convicts, as they were called, were rounded up and sent out here, often without even a trial.
That's correct. I mean, the idea that there was some sort of justice system in England was just completely false. Maybe if the people in England, for example, or in other places, if they were regarded as political in any sort of way or opposing the British at that point, were found on, you know, spurious charges and shipped out here. And see, because you were dealing with a lot of very strong-willed Scottish, Irish prisoners who weren't necessarily in any way guilty or guilty of the crimes that they were supposed to have done, there was a very strong Republican tendency. So what you had in Australia was this incredibly horrible, brutal treatment of the convicts, you know, with mass floggings. And what we've actually documented is the stark brutality of the British. And the intention was to smash the spirit of those prisoners.
Spirit in them.
Yeah, so that they didn't rise up like what happened in the United States. There was warnings at the time that if they were to send these very highly spirited political prisoners to Australia, then Australia would go the same direction as America did and fight a war of independence. In fact, you know, Australia did have and has had a very strong Republican history in our past. And one of those key persons was a Scottish minister by the name of John Dunmore Lang. And he wanted to establish in the 1850s the United States of Australia as a republic based upon the American model. And right throughout the early Labor Party, you've had very strong Republican figures For example, King O'Malley, Frank Anstey, Jack Lang, John Curtin, Ben Chifley, even up to Jim Cairns and Rex O'Connor, that have had very strong Republican tendencies. But more importantly, they've taken on what we call the money power, which are the financiers that run the global financial system today. And Australia and the United States, in fact, in history, are the only two countries that have taken on the money power as such, the financiers, which is a real unique part of our history.
So what do you think is going to happen in the future? Are they going to rewrite all the history books?
Well, I don't, because we're part of the British Empire, which is now sweetly called the Commonwealth, I doubt it. But we have made a big effort to get our information out. We've just published a 24-page full-colour New Citizen, which goes through all this new history and documents it in detail, which is available from our website, or if people want to call in on a 1-800-636-432, they can get their copy. But look, we've got feedback from various historians at universities and other people that study this material, giving us the credit that we deserve, in the sense that they believe this is very, very important history that hasn't been told.
Actually, it sort of makes you wonder why you bothered going to school. Well, people of our ages, I guess, to be taught, as you say, a lot of hogwash.
Well, that's look, a lot of history is always bent towards those people who are in power. And in Australia, we're under the governance and have been of the international financial oligarch, what we call an oligarchy, an elite few. Mm-hmm. So we've gone through just recently. We're actually still in it. I mean, we're not going through it. We're actually in a global breakdown crisis of the financial and monetary system.
Right.
Now, that's referred to by some people as a global financial crisis. Well, that's a very much an understatement. But there's been some very good developments internationally that your listeners wouldn't necessarily be aware of either. Mm. Is that, the reason for the massive problems on the international financial scene is because we have a huge amount of unpayable speculative debt. These things are called derivatives, and you've seen the subprime mortgages and collateralized debt obligations and all these fancy pieces of paper that actually have no value. Well, there's been a big breakthrough in that our organization internationally, through Mr. LaRouche, has been calling for a four powers agreement for a new financial and monetary system. That's with China, Russia, India, and the United States.
Okay.
And just after my last call, there was a very important dialogue take place between Russia and China, because China has something like $1 trillion of US-denominated US bonds in its as so-called assets. But these because the United States is in such bad shape economically, these bonds aren't worth very much. So what China's turned around and done and says, well, we're going to cooperate with our neighbours Russia and Mongolia, and we're going to use that debt as credit in order to have massive infrastructure development projects. So China and Russia have signed off on large high-speed rail systems that will open up the area of Mongolia for mineral exploration. They've signed power deals to develop energy resources in Russia. They've signed deals to build new shipyards in Russia. So they've taken this debt and they've turned it into credit in order to build real physical infrastructure, which is what we should be doing in Australia.
Yeah, okay. So the Russia-China cooperation is a step closer to LaRouche's four powers agreement.
That's what he's been proposing, and they've taken that step independently, and it's a step in the right direction, according to Mr. LaRouche. It's also going to create problems for Australia, because, you see, Mongolia is also part of this, which is in the north of China, and Mongolia has mineral resources that are much, much, much larger than a lot of Australia's mineral resources. So to the degree that you have this Russia-China cooperation with the development of Mongolia, the Chinese may not be looking for our iron ore and coal for much longer. So this has real significant issues for Australia.
A little bit of I don't know whether we should say a scary thought. Maybe that's not quite the right way to phrase it.
Well, I think the problem is that Australia's been treated like a big hole in the ground. And we just dig out all our wealth and raw materials and ship it out for the benefit of very large companies like Rio Tinto and BHP Billiton, where the benefit of those minerals isn't value added for the benefit of all Australians. And this is what you come back to. I was talking about Jim Cairns before, and people like Rex O'Connor and in the Whitlam ministry. They wanted to go back and what was called buy back the farm. In other words, for Australians to own the majority of the raw material holding in Australia, but also to develop those and to get the real value from them.
Yeah.
So this idea that we can simply export raw materials is going to fall into a hole if China is going to go and look for it somewhere else.
Yeah, fair enough. Actually, I tend to wonder when they're taking all this stuff out from under the ground and then building great big high-rises on one, all that weight on one spot, makes you wonder what could happen in the future in that one spot.
Yeah, well, the holes are getting bigger.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, Craig, we want to thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Well, you're welcome. A lot of the material I talk about is sometimes foreign for people, and I always like to point people to our website, which is www.cecaust.com.au. And then people can check it out for themselves, and they might find themselves greatly illuminated by what we talk about.
Yes, definitely. Well, Craig, once again, thank you so much. You enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you.
And we look forward to talking to you next time.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Craig.
See you. Bye-bye.
This is the Morning Magazine. 101.5.